One of my close friends is a jazz aficionado. She has loved jazz since she was a child. She's a good musician. She understands what's happening. And it's her goal to hear as many of the really great people, really great jazz musicians, before they shuffle off this mortal coil. As I said, we're good friends. So she's been taking me with her to these concerts. Now, I am not an aficionado. I have done my best to avoid jazz for most of my life. I love blues. I love rock, of just about all kinds. I love classical music, but jazz just did not. I even love country. But jazz did not make sense to me. I couldn't tell what was going on. One night about 6 years ago, we had just begun my training, my new education. We went to hear a musician named Keith Jarrett at Davies Hall. Keith Jarrett is known throughout the world. He was a child prodigy. He was classically trained in piano. And he is known for his marathon improvisational concerts that go on 2, 3, 4 hours. They're incredible. So we went and we had wonderful seats. We were at Davies Hall, as I said, and we were at the horseshoe in back of the stage, which is just a fabulous place to sit. And it's also cheaper than some of the other seats, which is a good thing to keep in mind if you go there. So we were there and he came out onto the stage. And he started banging on the piano, not on the keys, on the body of the piano. He was flapping things up and down. He began plucking at the strings, making all these little sounds himself. And then he was moving on to the keys, and he was playing, poking at the keys kind of at random and going back and giving another whack to the side of the piano. And I thought, my God, this man has never seen a piano before. Because he seemed to be exploring it, finding out what it was. And he kept doing that. And I thought, this is going to be a really long night. And about the time I had given up and kind of thought I would drift off to a little nap, a little bit of music, something that I recognized as music, began to emerge from this cacophony that was going on. And the thread of it grew stronger and stronger and stronger. And I was entranced, absolutely enveloped by this music that was coming out of seemingly nowhere. So I sat there and I listened and I thought, maybe this is what people experience when they hear good jazz. And I listened, and all was good. The place was quiet. And then the coughing began. Now, Davies Hall was full, and the coughs began. A few over here, a few over there. And they just continued. It was sporadic, just a little cough or two. And at the end of one song, Keith Jarrett stood up. He went to the microphone. And he said, I really need quiet while I'm playing. The sound is part of the music. The sound of silence is part of the music. And I need you to pay attention and not to cough. And he went back to the piano and began playing again, and people were quiet. And then there was an intermission, and when people came back, the playing began, and it was lovely, and after a few minutes, the coughing began again. And it lasted into the middle of the second piece, and he stood up, he abandoned the music, went to the microphone, and said, this is not working. He said, we need to pay attention to music. enough attention so that we don't notice when our body wants to cough. And he said, I've done concerts all over the world, in Yokohama, in Germany. People know how to listen. They never cough. And he said, I have managed in the hundreds of concerts that I've given never to cough. So please try to pay attention. And the audience began speaking back. There were voices coming at him, giving excuses. It's the cold season. Who knows what's happening with people? And then some voices began attacking him, saying, well, we're here to listen to you. You're not the boss of us, essentially. And then ultimately, and then other people were trying to shush everybody else. And ultimately, one person stood up and said, just play the blank, blank piano. And called him an obscenity, whereupon the boos began from the audience. And about seven hecklers, at least seven, maybe as many as a dozen, stood up and walked out to a round of applause. When the hecklers were gone and the applause stopped, Jarrett said, what would you like me to play? And people called out several suggestions, and he went to the piano and he played, and there was silence. And at 10 o'clock, it was time for the concert to be over, so he ended the concert and we called him back. And he came back for at least four encores. It was almost 11 o'clock when the concert finally ended. And in that space of time, the silence was the richest I have ever heard. It was as though all of us were breathing the same breath. We could hear the music in our bodies. We could hear it around us. He created a relationship with us, with the music, with the piano, and took us into an intimacy that I've never experienced before or since in a concert. It was a powerful time. And at one point, as he came out for one of the encores, someone in the audience called out, you like us, you really like us. And he was seated at the piano at that point, and he nodded his head and smiled. Jarrett expected us to give as much of ourselves as he was giving, because he knew what would happen when we joined him in this music, when we came into this moment of deep intimacy, of relationship with one another in the music. And those moments are precious to us. They're as precious as the nard that Mary put on Jesus' feet. This is another moment of deep intimacy. I don't imagine that either Mary or Jesus coughed as she put the perfume on his feet and wiped his feet with her hair. I don't imagine that anybody at the table continued to eat, because they all must have been transfixed by this moment of deep intimacy in a loving relationship. But Judas couldn't stand it, just like those folks at the concert He couldn't bear the intimacy that was happening. He wasn't angry because she spent money. He was angry because of what was happening right there in front of him. Remember, he had already decided what he was going to do. And to see this love being lavished when he knew he was going to be turning Jesus over to the authorities must have been like a dagger in his heart. And when he told Mary that she should have given him the money to give to the poor, Jesus rebuked him. And he said, the world is going to continue, but this moment will not happen again. This moment, this precious moment, this sacred moment of connection, of relationship, of deep intimacy will never happen again. Jairus knew about the sacredness, the holiness of those moments. And Jesus continues to teach us about those moments. And he continues to call us into connection with one another, with him, and with our deepest selves. And when we have those moments, when we have those experiences, whether it's at a concert or alone together, or when we come to this altar, or when we sing together, those moments are precious. They are sacred. And Jesus continues to call us into those moments. And sometimes, just like those people who were coughing, those moments make us a little nervous or a little uncomfortable, confused maybe. And we need to get away. We need to pull ourselves away from it because we don't know how to be. But no matter how hard we push back, no matter how many times we turn our backs on the invitation, Jesus continues to invite us into those moments that are just as precious as that precious perfume. He always invites us, no matter what we do. He always invites us over and over and over. Thanks be to God.